I'm Dan Soder.
And I'm Big J Okerson. And welcome to the Bonfire Podcast. You can hear our full show every day on SiriusXM.
Go to SiriusXM.com/bonfire for a special offer.
And now, the Bonfire with Big J Okerson and Dan Soder.
Our guest is hooking up.
Cigarette on the table. That's how you know it means business. Yes.
Hi, guys.
And cigarette
so
in the
jealous.
Mouth.
I'm so
Please
jealous.
Welcome back to the show. One of the greatest of all time, who you can catch at Caroline's December 27th through the 30th. It's Dave Attell. DaveAttell.com for tickets. Go check him out in New York City, December 27th through the 30th.
I was thinking about it, and Christine emailed me, and I was looking at the email, and we have the same thing from last year of like, hey, we're not going to be in studio. We got to do it on Zoom. So we've come a long way, people. We really
are. Hey, we're there. Look at us right back to where we were, just like kids.
It's all back down.
But I was ready to come in. I brought the holiday treats.
Oh, man. In person, that would have been awesome.
Christine's going to have to change her panties after this.
I'm not the first guy to be talking about candy on Zoom, I assume, tonight.
No. I assume that's how people lure children over to their home. Candy.
I'm going to give it to a first responder. Why not?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, why not?
If you're pulling bodies out, dude, might as well have some Reese's or some Kit Kats.
When me and Christine came over to visit you, I remember you had when they were doing the cheering for the first responders, and you had like a professional like trumpet player would come do a whole thing.
Yes.
Like, really? Across the street from you or something. Yeah, it was like a Broadway guy or something, right? Or symphony.
Oh, Jay, that was three variants ago. That's how I keep time now.
Because that's so three variants. That's funny. I measure cost of things in Schindler Jews. How many Jews does that cost?
Yeah.
How many
what
Jews
could
is
I
that?
Have gotten?
What else could I have gotten? This guitar could probably be four Jews.
This globe could be half a Jew.
You're
that's
getting ready
to be in black and white, and I was watching that on the road. And I fell asleep, and I came back, you know, like I woke up, and Raging Bull was on. And I'm like, yeah, at least they're fighting back.
Yeah. This one they punched
at least they're
down.
Finally fighting back. Richko, you're doing the week at Caroline's. Who's doing it with you this year?
I got a bunch of people coming in. Nicole Amy is going to be there. She's coming in from L.A. Okay. Karen is going to be there, you know, at Stan. She's great. Honestly, I'm lucky to get her. And Ian's going to come by. Louis Katz is going to be there.
Hell yeah.
So, and then we're going to probably have a couple of drop-bys, but you guys are always welcome to come by. I always offer, honestly, if you want
to. Well, I always try to come at least watch one.
I can't think of anything better than Times Square this time of year.
people coming together and just being together.
No, it's fine. I was going to go lick some benches anyway. And if I'm in the area, I'll be in the area.
How about you guys? Are you going to be on the road for the holiday? Are you going to stay in New York?
I'm staying in New York. Yeah. I'm staying in New York. I'm going to go. I have a New Year's gig in Providence.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And that's it. Yeah. And then we'll see. We'll see if I don't have this COVID or not.
Are you guys constantly testing? Because that's the hard thing now is to get a test.
No.
It is. No, I got tested today. I'm waiting to hear back. And I did a rapid test because I was in Boston all this weekend doing shows. So when I got back, I gave myself.
No, Danny means COVID. Danny means COVID, not your home AIDS tests.
Oh, no. Well, that's usually through a bunch of beakers and burning liquids. I determine if I have HIV or not.
You know what? The lines have never been longer.
It's crazy. Looks like new iPhones are coming out.
Like a little tent. You see that?
Yeah.
A little COVID tents. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I've used the tent. In fact, I used the tent one time, and the guy was like, hey, just screen grab the picture of your code thing, you know? And he's like, next time you want to get tested, just walk up and show me this. I just like show it to him, and he's like, and you can get tested.
Wow.
Nice.
VIP. It's clear.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's the bottle service of COVID, Dave. instead of them bringing you a bottle of vodka with a sparkler in it, they shove a swab up your nose.
Yeah, yep. Those swabs have gotten thinner and they go deeper with them now.
Oh.
But at least they should have a flap or something, just a little privacy. Maybe I'm old, but I don't know.
Yeah. Just fuck Sorry, my nose in front of all these people.
Sorry, Dave. We're way more
by a street person.
Yeah, we're way more open. We do it in front of everyone. I love to watch people getting tested. I'm a voyeur. I'm a test voyeur.
That's true. Yeah, that's the new kink.
Yeah. Christine, do you have that story up? Because we were talking about Schindler's List, this thing about the third graders acting out the Holocaust. Is this like the power experiments they used to do with the?
No, I think it was like, just like, an overzealous.
They, like, the, they do like police or like wardens and
yes,
prisoners.
That's what you're talking about, in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then all the kids got super mean.
Mm-hmm. That's how my parents met.
My father was one of the guards, my mother a prisoner.
Yeah.
Yeah. In mock prison. They met in mock prison.
What brought you two together? Just role playing? Yeah, it was
school special.
They were instructed.
I remember about that.
Oh yeah, they did. The
teacher turned
too.
All the kids into Nazis.
Well, this is a staff librarian in D.C. directed third graders. Can you go down, Christine? I can't read it.
Well, it's a weird thing that the headline itself was weird because it says to reenact scenes from the Holocaust. Like, you mean events of the Holocaust? Scenes?
No, they go.
It's not like,
no, they go
think
scenes.
It's fake. Yeah. Yeah, you know, scenes from that fable, the Holocaust.
You know that tale they tell to get sympathy.
But isn't the real story here a librarian? I mean, if anybody just sits there quietly more, it's these people.
Yeah, well, that's
they were so proactive, you know?
Well, yeah, Dave, they're just sitting there cooking up cockamamie schemes to make third graders relive the Holocaust.
Thinking of squid games for children.
Historical squid games for these children to participate in. Well, apparently,
this
librarian in D.C. directed the third graders to reenact the Holocaust, including asking them to dig ditches for mass graves and simulate shootings,
yes.
School's principal sent to parents.
That's the part that's striking me more than anything here.
Well,
all this information was given to them according to an email the school's parents sent to parents late. Was he sending that email like, hey, parents, just so you know, we're doing the Holocaust. Some kids are digging mass graves and doing some mass
shootings.
Hey,
guys.
A couple gas chamber
what's
things.
Going?
But,
it's Principal Davis. Just want to let you guys do where we're doing more of an immersive thing now where the kids actually live out the Holocaust. We got one kid. Dude, they gave one kid instructions.
We're doing a bake sale fundraiser to be able to afford the
armbands. The armbands are pretty expensive. One student was instructed to portray Hitler.
Wow.
Which that kid's going to be obnoxious the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But I like it how it was digging ditches. Like she had them just do like chores around her house.
Yeah.
Dig a few ditches, clean out those gutters, you know, like in the Holocaust.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if you guys know this, but in the Holocaust, a lot of Jews power washed driveways.
Yes.
It's going to be funny. After this, they know nothing about the Holocaust now, but they all know karate, like Karate Kid from doing these chores.
He goes, did we learn about World War II? No. Are we efficient in Miyagi style?
In Miyagi-Do karate? Yeah. Prune the trees. Prune the trees. Dig the hole.
He's like, keep an eye on them, little Hitler. I'm going to Nordstrom's. Don't let these prisoners use the bathroom.
Little Hitler, you're in charge till I get back.
Yeah. And if you're good, I'll give you some speech juice. She's just giving them fucking booze, just feeding these third graders daiquiris.
You know, when they ask the kids, they're going to go, were you instructed to play Hitler? He's like, instructed? It was my honor. Yeah. I can't believe I was able to do that. It's the lead. I got the lead in the Holocaust.
What did you do today in school, Jimmy? And he's like, I ran the Third Reich.
You learned about the Third Reich? Like, no. There was a lot of important decisions to be made.
No,
Take Poland or not?
He goes, well, I led with Poland because obviously, you know, a win's a win. Dude, this is crazy. The staff member has been placed on administrative leave while the matter is investigated. The episode has been referred to the district central equity response team.
What do you think the thing? What do you think the tell was that they ended up having to report it? Was it the ditches?
I bet it was Little Hitler.
Fake,
I bet Little Hitler came into the
play.
I think little Hitler came back to, like, he went to math class too confident, or art. He was in art just being like,
oh, you don't mean you don't think he turned on him? He wasn't a rat. You're saying he just wore it too long. He kept going. He took his Hitler act. He took his Hitler act to the lunchroom. That's not
well. The student assigned to the role of Hitler is Jewish, according to a parent. his Hitler act. That's hilarious. He goes, when I was in third grade, I had this Hitler act.
I would do this Hitler. Yeah, they wrote a play around it.
I don't know, man. I just, this one librarian, what if she's one of these kids' favorite teachers when they grow up? They're like, I want to thank that librarian for teaching me.
I don't think, Dave, did you ever have a teacher when you were young that you felt even really cared enough to dig into a project like this? I feel like all of our teachers were just getting through the 45 minutes.
I think a lot of them were teachers because they were dodging the draft. So they were just really alive, you know?
Yeah. You can't kill me. I'm a teacher.
I'm going to say, movies, you guys fill out the ditto, you know, whatever that was.
But I don't ever, I never had a dangerous minds turn the chair around type of teacher. I never had one that just like took such a major interest in like turning lives or teaching. They were all just like fine with it. None of them were that upset if you didn't do good. Like, I never felt it, the teacher that cares this much.
I can't say I had, that was not a big influence on me. If anything, was not a big influence. It was always like, you know, you see this guy? He's dumb, but he's rich. Look at him. Popped out of sixth grade, but he, you know, copper wire or something.
Did you not have a stand and deliver? You got to learn math, man.
If you Dave, you got to learn these jokes, man. You got to learn premises and punchlines, essay.
I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk you through it, essay. I can't think of one teacher who gave a shit.
Teachers, this kind of thing happens.
Never got in trouble for playing hooky because a teacher was even that concerned about that. They were like, whatever.
No, but Jay, this kind of thing happens once like every 3 years. A teacher thinks they're really going to break through by making them do like reenact a slave auction. And then they're like, hey, all the kids are mad. All the kids' parents are mad and you have to be fired now.
Or they try to take like that Michael Richards like shock approach, like you're all faggots. Ooh, words, 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 words. Am I right?
Yeah.
Ooh, we're all saying crazy words. Well, it's the meaning behind the words, but you just go and start giving preachy lessons. Like, I think the teacher called us faggots today.
You know, it's the weird thing though is that they all wear masks, so maybe they will associate masking with learning. You know?
Yeah.
I really need to tell you something. Okay, let me put on my mask.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get my
their magic power. You know, their cape.
Let me put on my knowledge muzzle, and we'll get to work. I don't know, man. It's this kind of thing. This kind of stunt when they try to do this is always backfires. It never goes through. So
this person,
I know more teachers. I know more people who have fucked stories of teachers who have fucked students than teachers that have cared so much about students that made it their entire lives, like Joe Clark and Lean on Me. Where these people aren't out there. Someone who cares that much about the youth, they don't care.
Yeah, you fell through the cracks. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Everybody I talk to in an audience who's a teacher is always, I'm like, do you love it? They're like, no. It sucks.
I hate it. I just fucking count in time until I get my pension.
Yeah, you didn't find a teacher that tried to take something you like and use it in the curriculum, like, you like lighting matches, right?
Yeah. What if I told you that was all science?
Yeah. You know what? Just because he worked at those, like, just because he worked, yeah, I guess you probably see him at those, like, fancy fucking, like, you know, academy schools. You know what I mean? I bet there's teachers there who, like, really give a shit when it's a place that's like a, you know, that's funny. I bet from those pictures of him being a professor, I bet Jeffrey Epstein, it was that teacher for so many people. Like, people he didn't fuck, just people were like, yo, this guy just cares, man. He's so smart, and he's just such a great guy.
He broke down economics. Like, it was almost like I was saving my allowance, and he really changed the way I looked at money in general.
He did what? Ooh, not the Epstein I know. Not the Epstein I know.
Not Professor Epstein. He wouldn't do those things.
That teacher in DC, she's like, hey guys, I want you to show up tomorrow with a shovel, wear your pajamas. All right. We're going to have quite a day.
Yeah.
Take the story down, Christine. Make us all full screen again. God damn it. That's so, man, I've never. Yeah, that was that one famous one in the 70s where they had the kids do the prison and stuff, and they started being mean, like, right away.
Yeah, but that was at Stanford, and it was college kids, so they were almost adults. This was third graders.
Yeah, well, you get them young. They should do that. Now this dude goes, all right, I guess we'll just do the prison thing. I was trying to mix shit up.
Oh, they don't like flashcards, so we got to act like they're prisoners.
So I can't do the Armenian Genocide next quarter? Well, then I have to work on my curriculum.
Well, fuck me running, because in the spring we were going to do the Sudanese Civil War. But I guess these kids aren't going to learn who the Hutsi and the I fucked it up. I didn't know the tribes. I blew it. That's pot.
It was just said, dude, good. You know, I think Paul Pot said it best. Doesn't get enough attention.
These kids want to learn, man.
Yeah, who takes like just a bold experiment like that? I mean, well, every teacher I've ever had was absolutely okay. If it was a day where they could just show us a TV thing or a movie or something, they would. Like, they just never were. They just did exactly what the book said and wanted to like eat their bagel and drink their coffee while we did work.
Did you guys do field trips? Because that was like a learning experience. You know, like
What was your favorite field trip you ever went on?
We went to, I lived on Long Island, so we went to go where Newsday was made.
Ooh.
Paper.
Yeah.
It's this, the print setter guy, you know, it's like three fingers, you know. The printing machine is a hungry animal. Not operated when you're drunk, you know. And then we went to Grumman, where they made missiles. So they were really training us up for a couple of different careers. But I remember like these weird field trips, like, you know, hey, you know, if it doesn't work out in school, we're going to tell you to take you to a place where you might get it.
Yeah. Damn, dude. We're all going to Jiffy Lube.
Those first two field trips.
A loading dock.
Yeah. We're going to take you by a union office. Get comfortable here. Yeah.
School trips for me, though, I think we said this in the show a while back, a couple years ago, we talked about this. But school trips, like the field trips, like the day-long ones where we go to, like, D.C. and look at all the historic stuff, I bring back nothing of the rich history or whatever we were doing or the information we were doing. It was always about like hooking up or talking to a girl or something, or what you can get while you were out there. Like, what could we buy while we're out there? Yeah. Some gift shop and shit. Like, it's all we ever cared about.
Yeah. Imagine wanting to learn on a field trip.
Well, but there was like also less penalties of like you're the teacher and you went out with like 20 kids and you came back with 18. You're like,
you go, well, I don't know. Two of them are going to have a story. Relax.
Yeah.
I also think field trips where you saw teachers get loose a little bit. I definitely saw a few of them crack a cigarette once or twice.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, the best was always when you would have chaperones that were kids in your class's parents and you got to see either how big a dork, how mean they were, where you're like, oh, Nick's mom's fucking mean.
I chaperoned once, and all Isabel's friends thought I was a pirate, they said, and then the optics of it looked bizarre.
It's always like three moms and one unemployed dad, you know?
Yeah, that was me. I was the unemployed dad.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I would go.
He goes, hey, kids, I'm kind of in a rut right now, but I think I can watch you look at dinosaur bones.
I think about it all, like, in New York, just, like, all the stuff that you would never do with a large group. Because, like, we would get on the Long Island Railroad and then get into Penn Station. And while holding hands, walk through Penn Station to the subway. Then we get on the subway. It was, like, there's a million ways that would go wrong now, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, honestly, that would have been, like, a horrible experience.
Dude, I was
like,
Isabella.
What's going on the subway?
Do you know, Dan, I was, Isabella, when I would take her to Girl Scout stuff, like, I was the only father that ever went, and you know, she went to like a Freeport one, so it's like kind of the hood, her Girl Scouts thing. And so I would said something, I go, Isabella, am I the only father who ever comes to this stuff? And she was like, yeah. I go, no father, is it weird that I come? Like, do no other fathers come? And she goes, Dad, I kept saying this like kind of loud, and she was like, Dad, a lot of them don't have fathers. And like, she wasn't wrong. That's the thing. Like, a bunch of them just didn't have fathers around. So
they were getting just awkward. To you?
Yeah. They would like me very much. Hey guys, real quick, let's talk about one of our awesome sponsors over here at the Bonfire, and of course that is Metro by T-Mobile. Listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, calling customer service and trying to sign up for a new program or plan or any kind of subscription, and you get a whole bunch of nonsense and long paperwork and contracts you can't get out of, pricier subscription prices going up. I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like when companies have those sneaky gotchas hidden deep in the fine print, or bills that seem to keep going up for no dang reason, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have elsewhere and your seat probably reclines. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple-checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included. But listen, you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and no yada yada. Nada. Yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide right now. Guys, real quick, let's talk about one of our awesome sponsors over here at the Bonfire. And of course, that is Prize Picks, everybody. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. It's very simple. You're picking more or less than the projected stats on 2 to 6 players. If you pick right, you win. That's it. For example, Tyrese Maxey. Maybe it says he'll score 13 points tonight. If you pick more and he scores more, you win. You pick less, he scores less, you win. It's that easy. You against the numbers only. You could turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use code BONFIRE for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code BONFIRE for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
1 of 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Goose.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Bueno note, buenos aires.
Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is just better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Non palietano molto bene.
Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold, and all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Hello. Hey, you know how you say no?
Go on.
No.
Hey, I'm going to write that down. N.
I am learning Italian off of Babbel right now.
Hola.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, you get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/bonfire. Get 55% off at babbel.com/bonfire, spelled BABBEL.com/bonfire. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, see, you guys had East Coast field trips. I grew up in Colorado, so we would go to caves or places where
we did that.
Or places where we killed Indians. That was a big one. They would just take us.
That's big.
They would just take it to where like massacres happened of Native Americans.
Yeah, and they're like, this is where the slaughter of Aurora.
Yeah, no, but they would. They'd be like, all right, well, we can go over to Cripple Creek, where it was a mining town, and then you're like, yeah, it was all shit like that. They love taking us. They would take us to jobs that don't exist anymore, like silver miners or like fucking donkey trainers.
Yeah, Long Island, I feel like they should have took you guys to like Boeing and like a DJ academy. The two ways it could possibly turn out.
This is a gym. Some of you guys are going to be personal trainers.
Welcome to the exciting field of catering. It's like a party, but you do everything. I was out there and like honestly that town is all North Face. Everybody there looks like they're ready to climb something. I mean,
oh my
everybody
God, yeah. So, dude, they so wake like, up and they're all, you can't take off your fleece in Colorado or you die. Yes.
And I've been watching all these movies about these guys who are like master rock climbers.
Yeah.
And all of them are on the spectrum. You know, it's kind yeah. of like that's the thing that they like latch onto, this like life and death thing. But I was just thinking, like, growing up, how like rock climbing was like, I guess for you guys, that was like, you know, considered like, yeah, okay, cool, you're smart and all, but how's your ascent?
You know? Can you free climb? How high can you free climb?
Or, you know, what's going on?
But also, Dave, that's interesting. I didn't know they were on the spectrum. It's kind of, that's the West Coast version of autistic kids with trains, is Colorado yeah. autistic kids just know how to climb real well.
They're all like, it's amazing. Like, their moms are like, you know, we didn't know what to do with them, but then he got involved in this rock climbing, and like, it really, like, it was like, whatever, it's like better than written, you know.
We call them koala brains in Colorado. All they know how to do is eat leaves and climb.
I think it's outside Denver.
We would climb power, you know, like telephone poles and power cables and stuff like that. And that was like the amazing, like, this guy got like right up to the wire, you know. This guy's like magical, like he's alive, you know.
Yeah, we had some towers and stuff you can climb like that. Leonardo DiCaprio and Gilbert Grape.
Yeah, yeah, get
just
down.
Just climbing, then the whole town has to come over and get you down.
A water tower or something, you know.
Yeah, dude.
But we had a bunch of that. But I always feel like in Denver, though, now, I love Denver, by the way, but I feel like everybody there is.
Great crowd.
I think they're dressed like they're ready to go climbing anytime, but I think it's just a look out there. I think people move there from all over now. I think it's a very, what do you call that? Like transplant town at this point, and I think everyone just goes there and can't wait to put on their nicest, like,
you know,
winter jackets and shit.
You know how Tony Hinchcliffe moved to Austin and now he rocks the cowboy look?
Yes, exactly. Like that is what I mean.
Everybody goes to Colorado, and then they even, no matter where they're from, they move to Denver, and then they go to the REI, and they just come back out looking like a different person in hiking boots and light jeans.
Yeah, you have like your pants are always like held on by suspenders. Like,
yeah, you have a
snowboarding suspenders.
Yeah, you have a trail mix recipe.
You call it your apartment. You call it base camp.
So I woke up at base camp, and then I ascended to work, where I worked for 7 to 8 hours. Yeah.
I only deal in military time and knots measurements.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Dave.
No, I had nothing. I was just like, I did DC, that was awesome, and then I did Denver. Like, I hit some towns, and there's a lot of fans, comedy fans, like watching this. So I hit a lot of towns during the, I guess you could say, the good months when I was like, wow, this is awesome, you know, like this is great. And then there was a couple of, you know, there was a couple of like rough and ready towns as well. But the majority of the crowds that came out were I think we can all agree were great. But
yeah.
Soul Joel's continuously brings it
crazy.
I mean, honestly. Crazy. It's amazing how this guy has put that together. It's really crazy.
It's gone.
Yeah, those shows, is it really? The Dome's gone?
It's gone.
Yeah, they moved, though. They moved to another location, right? That's what I was told.
No, I don't think he has I think he's just like using temporary locations. I might be wrong about that, but I heard temporary. He doesn't have an actual official location.
Joel's? So that Dome was his field of dreams? If you build it, they will come?
Yeah, I think they got ran out by the locals.
Damn.
Really?
But yeah, that was killer. That was one of the gigs that saved comedy in the quarantine.
It really did, yeah. And he showed me. He said, "It's like I'm bringing it indoors. I'm like, you should just keep doing this outdoors. I mean, like this is like one of the best. Honestly, it had, you know, it was like you either play Red Rock when you're out west, or you
play Royersford.
Here's what you do, dude. But they did it. That audience had the feel of a 70s concert film. Like, they were they were always like, Jesus, you guys are fucking into this. It was great.
Dave, had you ever done comedy at Red Rock for like an oddball or something?
Yeah, no, I hosted like a band thing and a long, long time ago. And I was like, this is like an amazing thing for everything but comedy. You know,
that's like, what I was going to say. I was going to say that. It's the most amazing thing for bands, but I couldn't see doing comedy there being awesome. It's like too cool. Like the surrounding, it was like that red lights and all that shit. And like, that's where Incubus is supposed to play. You're not supposed to tell a cum joke.
Yeah, it's like a Greek amphitheater. Like you're supposed to do some kind of crazy, you know, like speech or something. Cause you're standing, you're all on rocks, sitting on rocks and you're like in front of them. You know, I felt weird. I just felt weird the whole time. But the cool of it is that like, you know, for some reason, like people party extra hard when they're there because they're like, you know, I don't know. It's like, we're at Red Rock. And like, I know the Dead play there like every couple of months or something. I don't know what they do, but they always either start or end the tour there. And I'm always in Denver when that happens. Like, the Dead are playing. And it's funny because, like, you'll be in a hotel and there'll be like a 60-year-old guy dressed like we were talking, you know? And he's like, you know, this is like my 100th concert or something like, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the number is, and you're just like, hey, we all pick different things in life, you know.
Those guys, so, I think the average of someone who would call themselves a Deadhead is like hundreds of shows.
Yeah, 100 would be like, you can't even get near the merch table, I think.
Yeah, what are you at, DJ Lou, what are you at for Pearl Jam shows?
82.
Yeah, you're not even, you're barely a fan.
How do you guys?
It's barely a fan, dude. You're garbage. That sucks. I thought you gave a shit.
It's not true. It's not true.
Can't believe it's not in triple digits, you fucking damn, man. You're a Nirvana guy, I guess.
What, only tour every 3 years. This is all I can do.
Dave, have you watched any of the HBO Music Box documentaries?
No, I haven't seen them yet.
The Woodstock one or anything?
Oh, yeah, I saw that one, yeah. The 99.
That one was wild. That was a crazy documentary. They made a couple of them now. They have this one about this guy Juice WRLD I just watched. The Alanis Morissette one was good. Are you watching them all, DJ Lou?
Yes, every single one I saw.
I didn't see the one about the guy who started disco. Was that great, Mr. Saturday Night?
Yeah, that was probably the best one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, watch that one.
What are these on again? These are on
HBO Max. They're on HBO Max. But there's one, and you watched the Juice WRLD one?
Oh, what a piece of shit that was.
I watch it. It's Juice WRLD's a rapper, quote unquote, I guess, that got entertainer that got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Or didn't get killed, right? He OD'd, right?
That's right. That's right.
It must have been. When? It's just a documentary, I don't know, like a year or so ago, but the music is completely auto-tuned nonsense. The documentary is a bunch of people just saying how great he was, but it's all just dumb people, it seems like. The people it's like interviewing are always like, yo, he had a next level thing. And it was just him doing auto-tune stuff and nonstop taking drugs, crushing up pills and doing it nonstop. So, and then they're like, and then sadly, he died. You're like, let me stop you right there. Died from an OD. That was coming a mile away. It was just, I don't know if it was more of like a celebration of his music or what. It was just terrible. It was so bad. I never felt less bad for a person's legacy who passed away. I wouldn't be able to tell you a Juice WRLD. Do you have any of his music, Lou?
Well, that's also those documentaries that don't do serve. When you watch a documentary about someone that doesn't do him any service, where you're like, oh, you made me not like this person more, and I think that wasn't your intention.
It's What's like the song called?
Lucid Dreams. This was his
Yeah, this is his hit.
That sounds like Post Malone. Dave, you're a big fan, right? You have all the Juice WRLD songs.
Is it, what is that, Skrillex or...
No, Skrillex actually makes those noises, though. Like, this guy's just saying words and there's a microphone and production happening around him. I don't understand what was... Are the lyrics that great? I don't know. It just sounds like one note over and over again. And this...
So why did they make it
2 hours long? I don't know why. That's what I want to ask HBO Max. Why did they make a documentary about this guy?
I want to watch the Alanis Morissette one because she was definitely like a road warrior. She toured so hard, like through the entire 90s, I guess, whatever that was. Yeah, like she was just like incredible. Like I remember like all those like just fest outdoor, like all that kind of stuff over and over and over. So
what's funny about her is she still looks great, by the way, but what's funny is she does look like a mom now. Like, I stopped seeing her ever when she was still kind of like the mousy, you know, like a female Jim Morrison kind of like slinking around thing. And now to see her, she's like just like a mom. she looks completely like a mom, but she looks great. But I mean, like, but it is pretty funny. And she says now that that song is not about Dave Coulier. Bullshit. She said, do you remember that? You ever hear that theory, Dave?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. is my first thing I ever said to him.
I saw him live. That was always the weird thing of like, well, what? Then I would look at his tour dates and he's playing the same clubs, you know. He should have gotten more of a pop off of it.
Yeah, the Alanis Morissette push. He goes, I did full house.
You got the Morissette bump?
Yeah, he goes, I did full house, then Alanis Morissette said I was a piece of shit, so that packed it out.
Here's another thing. When's the last time you guys went to like a live show though? Like when's the last time you went to like a concert?
I went to a concert a couple weeks ago with Ari and Katie. We went and saw LCD Sound System.
Okay. And did they check everything like that kind of thing? Do that?
Yeah, they checked to make sure everyone was vaccinated, and then it was good. You know, it was it felt like pre-pandemic kind of. You only saw a couple people in masks.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. We went to see Genesis live, walking in thinking Genesis live for the first time in my life at the Garden. If I get COVID for this, I understand. And I left leaving saying I wouldn't have taken a light hangnail for that horrible, horrible show. That horrible, horrible show. How dare he? How dare he suck so bad?
Wow. That's sad. Well, he is old. He's very old. Yeah.
He's sitting in a chair the whole time. They don't what do you call it? They don't promote that at all. You get there and he's sitting in a chair. Not even a stool.
They don't pay him enough to stand up.
He's like, you want me to get up? Give me more money. I always want more money.
And then he gets up and walks with a cane, like, off. When they left, and I saw that they're doing an encore, and I saw him leaving the stage before the encore, I was like, oh, God. Oh, man, it's going to be 20 minutes to get him back out on the stage. I'm like, just leave him there. Someone said, throw a blanket over him, like that comic. What was that comic
story?
Ollie Joe
Porter?
Yeah. Oh, Ollie Joe Porter, yes.
Just throw a blanket over him.
He's just like, I'm going to sit here and smoke a cigarette under this sheet. Pull it when you want me to sing.
Isn't Madison Square Garden the coolest? Like, I did that 9/11 benefit. That was Pete Davidson and John Stewart's, you know, charity.
Yeah.
First responders. And, like, honestly, like, the whole, like, system they have there, it's, like, such a amazing, amazing experience. And then we, because we're backstage, we got to see, like, you know, like, the load-in, like, where, like, you know, Kiss played there, they would like load in like, you know, 20 RVs or whatever it was. Like,
it's crazy. Just,
like, imagine in your mind like all the crazy stuff that went on there, you know?
Yeah,
it's a pretty cool place.
That's got to be badass. You especially get to see all behind the scenes thing. One time I got to go to the WWE was at Barclay Center, and I'd been to the Barclay Center before for concerts and stuff, but I went with Michael Che, and since the WWE and SNL have a good relationship, they sent him like a car, and they like drove us in and took an elevator down. It was fucking crazy.
That is cool. I've never been to that.
Then you get to see a bunch of men in their underwear, dude.
Dude, I did. And some of them took home the U.S. championship that night, Jay. And two of them were in a ladder match. So why don't you change your tone?
They take pictures with you like you were a Make-A-Wish kid?
No, they didn't.
Were you gave number one fingers, number one forever fingers?
I was too scared to ask.
No selfie in a headlock? Come on.
Yeah. God damn it. Where were you guys when I needed you that afternoon before I went, where I could plan my photos?
Did we... I don't know if I said this on air or anything or not, but my thing with seeing celebrities on an airplane now, it's like if I notice them when the plane starts, I'd rather be on a plane with no celebrities, because when I am, I'm consumed the whole trip with what I have to do or not do to say or not say to them.
I was just recently on a flight and Kevin Durant was sitting on a row in front of me.
That's what I mean, man. And you're like,
you just don't say nothing.
Well, sports is easier for me because if you're not on my team, I can give two fucks about you.
How can you tell if everyone's masked up, though?
He was 6'9", and you know, like he looked like Kevin Durant with the mask.
Oh, Kevin Durant? I don't know, because like he's a zillionaire. Kevin Durant's a zillionaire, and for some reason, it looks like a fire broke out on his head. I don't know why his hair is like that,
dude. It's crazy. He has Pesci Home Alone 1 head.
Can you bring up a picture of Kevin Durant's hair? Just if you like write that, everyone will. There'll be a lot of pictures. It must be talked about a ton. That is the hilarious. These guys that stay in basketball so long now, like LeBron James and stuff, watching their hairlines go back and the bald. And then you get to see one season where their hairline comes back because they got the surgery.
Hell yeah.
Jay, what celebrities have you flown with?
It's not. Jesus, it's a mess, that hair, huh? It's I flew with.
Well, he was just with Fat Joe.
Yeah, Fat
that
Joe.
Was the awkward one.
No, they're all awkward to me because.
But that was the only one you tried to talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Fat Joe, the RZA from Wu-Tang Clan, and. Oh, there's been like one or two more. I can't think of what they were. But like, it doesn't, because I've never said anything to them, but I really. Oh, no, I flew the lead singer of Anthrax and his wife, but I knew them briefly. So that wasn't a weird introduce. Like, we did the same gigs together before. So, like, that wasn't so weird. But the Fat Joe, yeah, the whole flight, I'm like, what am I going to say, dude? Fat Joe's going to think I rule with what I say. and then it just, he did not at all. And then I ran, like, I got away from him as fast as possible because I felt embarrassed by saying something at all.
Yeah.
And then when I got far away from him, somebody recognized me, which would have been so cool for him to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like,
but he did not at all.
Where were you?
What's the biggest celebrity you've flown with, Dave?
I was in the airport one time and Mitt Romney was walking to the gate or something like that.
Oh, really?
Wanted a picture with him. I was just thinking, that's a weird thing. But he was all like waving and everything like that. But I don't know the celebrities like you guys do. Like, I don't know who's who and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah. You know, I think I'm
have
sure
you ever
I,
have you ever
next to someone from Babylon 5, you know, like
that's
one of
cool.
these TV shows or something. Yeah. You fly to like LA or Aspen or something. You have to go to like celebrity places to see the celebrity people.
I was at the Cellar the other day and Kevin Hart was on stage upstairs. It was Che and somebody else. It just felt like a little bit of a star-studded night. And I looked across the room while the band was playing. It was packed. And I go, oh, shit, and Erykah Badu's here. And Christine was like, really? Where? And I go, right over there. You can see their silhouette. And I go, it's definitely only Erykah Badu has dread, you know, those braids and that whatever that go all the way down her back and wears that wrap and a big pilgrim hat. That's her look. That's her thing now, right? You've seen that there? It was not her at all. As I got closer, it was just a woman that dresses identically to Erykah Badu. But I was moving forward with the confidence that it was definitely her.
Yeah, where you're like, that's 100% Erykah Badu. Oh my God, it's another lady that just decided to look like Erykah Badu.
So would you, if you saw a celebrity that you knew, would you like engage with them? Like, you know, hey, would you?
No, I think it'd be too awkward. I would always be too. The last celebrity that I approached to say something to was a wrestling manager named Paul Heyman because we were on two flights together, and I was like, it was just awkward, and I felt stupid, and I walked away being like, that was it. I shouldn't have done that.
You're NWO for life. I gotta go.
I go. I just want to let you know. I think ECW ruled. Thank you for creating it.
We should let Dave go because. We got to take a commercial, and then when we come back, we went long. So when we come back, we're going to have to just end the show anyway. So let's say Dave, of course, is going to be at Caroline's, the shows of the year at Caroline's.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tradition. It's a holiday tradition.
We're excited to be back. It's going to be hopefully a safe, fun week. And thank you again, guys, for having me on. It's great to connect again with your fans because they're the ultimate comedy people. So I hope to see you guys down the road.
27th to 30th. It's the shows of the year. It's my favorite thing in New York comedy is Dave Attell.
Yeah, DaveAttell.com. If you're in New York, go check him out at Caroline's December 27th through the 30th. And then, Dave, we'll have to have you back in studio the second we're back to hang out.
Absolutely. Anyway, Christine, thank you. And, guys, be safe. And I'll hopefully see you guys over the next couple of weeks, you know?
Absolutely, Dave.
It's the bonfire.
You've been listening to SiriusXM's Bonfire. New episodes every Tuesday through Friday mornings, and full shows always on SiriusXM.